is we are starting a new three-part series on thoughts, about the thoughts, the old noggin, right? And this is, and I just say, this is one of those like series that's so important that I hope that you're here every week, that you're taking notes, that when we're done, you go back and listen to it again online. This is one of those things that is so powerfully important. In fact, next week, my good friend Ron Martinez, who's a family counselor over at South Park Psychiatry, is going to be speaking, and he's just amazing. He's going to talk to us about this. We're talking about our thoughts, so listen intently because our thoughts control our lives. We have to understand that. That's so important to know and to understand that our thoughts control our lives because it's our beliefs. Whether our beliefs are true or whether our beliefs are false, but our beliefs shape our lives. And so this is so incredibly important. We are where we are because of our thoughts, right? And so for many people who struggle year after year after year to lose weight, you know what? It's usually a thought problem, not a weight problem. So many people year after year after year struggle with finances. It's usually a thought problem, not a finance problem, right? So year after year after year, people struggle with their marriages. It's usually thought problems, not a marriage problem, okay? And so we have to understand that our beliefs shape our lives. And I know a lot of people are, you might be sitting there going, I don't know about that. I just want you to really pay attention. I want you to lean into this, all right? And so our beliefs shape our lives. Why? Because every action that we take starts with a thought, right? Every action that we take starts with a thought. If you're going to make a phone call, you think about it first. That thought comes to your mind. We don't tend to, even when we act thoughtlessly, there are thoughts behind those actions. So every action that we take begins with a thought. Because our mind is the battleground for sin. Our mind is the battleground for sin. So when we sin, it starts with thoughts. This is where it all happens first. All temptation happens in the mind. All those temptations that we face start right up here, start in the mind. Sin begins in the mind. What do? We worry, we're tempted, we have lust, or we have pride. Prideful thoughts lead to sin. Okay? And so it all starts up here. And so there is this battle happening in our mind 24/7. There is a battle going on in our minds. It's always happening. You ever notice that your mind never shuts up? Never. Never. Right? It's always going. Oh, you put your head down on the pillow at night, and you're just going, okay, brain, shut up so I can go to sleep. So I always thought it was hilarious when people will pick up their phones at 3 in the morning because they can't sleep, and they'll post on Facebook that they can't sleep. What are you doing? Turn that off. You're just waking yourself up more by posting about it, right? And so, but it's all because our minds just won't be quiet. And so there's a battle happening in our brains 24/7. Your mind is your greatest asset. Well, that's why that battle is so intense. That's why the enemy is fighting for your thoughts. He's fighting for your mind because your mind is your greatest asset. And so the thing is like, so all sin begins in the mind, but also the key to peace and the key really to happiness is in our mind, right? It's there. That's why some people whose circumstances are so poor can be happy because they've figured this out, because they've figured out gratitude. They've figured out keeping their eyes on the things that they have instead of the things that you don't have, right? If you look at the things you have, you'll always have enough, but you're always thinking about what you don't have, you never have enough, right? So it all happens up in our minds. And so the thing is that an unmanaged mind, and this is really kind of what I want to hit on today, is that an unmanaged mind leads to tension. An unmanaged mind leads to stress. But a managed mind, a mind where we take our thoughts captive, as Scripture says, right? A managed mind leads to peace. Would you rather have tension or peace? A lot of you just aren't sure. Okay, well, let me just tell you, give you a hint. Peace. You want peace. Okay? And so an unmanaged mind leads to tension and stress, but a managed mind leads to peace. Because whatever gets your attention gets you. Whatever gets your attention gets you. Whatever it is that you're always focused on, always thinking about, always dwelling on, whatever holds and gets your attention is what gets you. And so we can probably all recall times when our thoughts have gotten the best of us. I remember back at VCD, Vineyard Church of Davenport, there was a worship leader there. And I heard this song, and I thought, this dude would love this song. He would love this song. And so I sent him an email with a link to the song on YouTube. I said, hey, check out this song. I think you would really like this song. And so I sent the email off, and a few days went by, and I never heard from him. And I thought, okay, well, you know, I kind of get it, because sometimes worship leaders get a little annoyed when people are always sending them songs, because they've already got enough songs. I mean, they don't need people recommending songs. But still, he could have sent me an email back going, hey, thanks for the song, right? And then I just sort of like was sitting there one day, and I was kind of annoyed that he didn't respond to my email. And I kind of like in my mind, I sort of pictured him reading the email and then just like deleting it without a response. And I thought, what a jerk. What a jerk. You know, I mean, he could have just wrote me back. And, in my mind, I'm picturing him, you know, thinking I'm a jerk and just deleting the email. And then I just thought some unchristian words to describe him. And I was sort of like, gosh, you know, maybe I just don't want to. Maybe I'll just never email him again. Maybe that's it. Maybe I just won't talk to him because he's kind of a poo head for not emailing me back, right? Turns out he never got the email, right? He just never got it. Went to his spam box, right? For some reason it did. I don't know why. And I just caused myself a lot of stress for no reason. I allowed my thoughts to take control of me instead of me taking control of my thoughts. And so I just caused myself a lot of stress, feelings of rejection because of that, because I let my thoughts control me instead of me controlling my thoughts. And so without a doubt, everyone here has made bad decisions, they've passed unfair judgments, they've lost a whole lot of peace simply because of unmanaged thoughts. If I would have just managed my thoughts in this case, instead of letting my thoughts manage me, I wouldn't have lost any peace over it, right? I wouldn't have got all stressed and upset and had to repent of some of the things I thought about him, and then the awkwardness of having that first conversation with him and him saying that he just never got the email. And so we've all made bad decisions. We've all made unfair judgments. We've all lost peace because of unmanaged thoughts. And so I want to talk today about, you know, what we can learn from Scripture about managing our thoughts in a way that brings peace, in a way that brings power to win the battle of the mind instead of lose it. And so we're going to talk about that, but really quick, let's pray. God, this morning, I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, that you have good instruction. God, that your word helps us to manage our thoughts. Your word, God, helps to transform our thoughts. And Lord, I ask that you would speak to us today, that you would bring transformation today, that you would bring freedom today, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5. Okay? And this is the New King James Version. It says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." So in other words, what he's saying here is though we are in these bodies and we're walking and we're doing life in these bodies, that's not how we do war, is in these bodies. He says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal," they're not flesh, they're not body, "but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Okay, what's a stronghold? A stronghold is a lie that we believe, all right? "So casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ." And then he says this, "bringing every thought," does he say some thoughts? He says every thought, right? "Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." This is so important, especially that last line, "bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. And if you remember one thing this morning, I want you to remember this. A transformed life begins with a transformed mind. A transformed life begins with a transformed mind. So if you're like, I need some transformation. I need a miracle. Man, I need a life overhaul. It begins with a transformed mind. A transformed life begins with a transformed mind. Because it's your mind that got you where you are now. Okay? So if you're in a mess now, you're in a funk now, you can thank your thoughts, you can thank your mind. You can blame all you want, your parents, or you can blame your situation, you can blame the way that your ex-boyfriend treated you, or your old pastor treated you, you can blame. But we are where we are because of our thoughts, because of our mind. Okay? And so if we want a transformation, we need a transformed mind. Here's the thing. God cares about our circumstances. He really does. God cares about your job. He cares about your health. He cares about your bills. He cares about your relationships. He cares about all the details of your life. In fact, Scripture says that he has the hairs on our head counted, right? But he cares even more about what's happening inside of you. That's what God really, really... He cares more about what's happening inside of you than he does about your circumstances. He cares more about who you're becoming than what you're doing and what's happening to you. He cares about what's happening inside of you. That's where God does so much work. And he cares about what's happening inside of you. We have to understand that. And so Romans chapter 12, verse 12 says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. Okay? Sometimes we need to be reminded of that in the church. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. So how does God transform you into a new person? Wake up. What? By changing the way you think. Yes. God transforms us by changing the way that we think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. Don't you want to walk in God's will, which is good and pleasing and perfect? Right? Don't you want to walk in His ways because they're higher than our ways, they're better than our ways? And if we're going to do that, though, we have to let Him change the way we think. We can't keep thinking the way we've been thinking. So if he wants to transform us into a new person so that we'll know His will, and which is good and pleasing and perfect, but He does that by changing the way you think. So if we're filled with false beliefs about ourselves, if we're filled with false beliefs about God, which many people are filled with false beliefs about God, and false beliefs about the world around us, then we're not going to experience a transformed life. We're not going to be walking in that newness. We're not going to be walking in that life abundantly, okay? We're just going to find ourselves going around the same old issues. Does anybody ever get tired of going around the same old issues? I feel like I have the same argument with my wife every few months, right? I feel like I have the same health issues every month. I struggle with the same financial things every month. It seems like, you know, every relationship ends the same way. Don't we just go around the same issues? It seems like, oh, there's tension in my life every few months because I get all insecure, or I get clingy, or I get, you know, whatever, you know, or I get fatigued. And so we go around the same issues time and time and time and time again, and we go, will it ever change? I don't know. And it's because we don't change the way we think. It's because our thoughts keep us in those things. We find ourselves going around those same things. We go through the same pain, the same frustration, and we wonder why things never seem to change. And it's because we are holding on to false beliefs. We're holding on to beliefs that just are not correct. They're not what the Bible says about us. They're not what God is saying about us. Catch this. I'm just going to pause for a second. I said in the beginning of the message, this is really important. These next 3 weeks are really important. If we grab a hold of it, it could really change our lives. So I just need to pause and say that again with emphasis. Okay? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. The thing is, only you can control your thoughts. Only you. Only you can control your thoughts. Only you can bring your thoughts into captivity. Only you. Control your thoughts instead of letting your thoughts control you. Control your thoughts instead of letting your thoughts control you. So, how do we do this? I just want to talk about a couple things. How we do this. Okay? The first thing is this. I have to feed my mind the truth. I have to feed my mind the truth. So if you want to take your thoughts, take control of your thoughts, you have to feed your mind the truth. But here's the thing. Your mind is a lot like your body. In fact, your brain is physical. We forget that sometimes, don't we? That actually our brain is physical and needs nourishment and exercise just like our body does. Okay? I have to feed my mind the truth. When you feed your mind healthy things, you know what happens? It gets healthy. It gets nourished, right? When you feed your mind the truth, when you feed your mind healthy things, it gets nourished. It gets strong. It gets healthy. I used to have some friends of mine, back in high school. They used to always tease me and jab at me because I'd listen to this really just bold Jesus music all the time. And I'd get in the car and sometimes I'd be like, listen, guys, I know it sounds cheesy, but I just want to hear God's word. I just want to hear praise. I want to feed my mind the truth. I want to feed my spirit things that are healthy and nourishing rather than things that are kind of depressing or dark, right? And they'd kind of tease me and stuff like that. Well, when I'm walking in health and I'm walking in praise and I'm walking in the truth, it helps me to live and reject false beliefs and grab true beliefs and grab the truth, okay? And so we have to feed our minds the truth. We need scripture. You need scripture. I need scripture. We need scripture, okay? God has given us the gift of scripture, of the Bible. And in other parts of the world, people are literally laying down their lives. They're literally putting death targets on their back to own a Bible. And in America, we've got we got free Bibles in every version on our phones. And we still don't read it. Okay? So we have to understand that there's truth, that there's nourishment in Scripture. We have to feed our minds the truth. If we fed on Scripture the way that we fed on Netflix, or if we fed on Scripture the way that we fed on Facebook or podcasts, if we fed on Scripture the way that we fed on, the latest Marvel movie, wow, would we have healthy, amazing thoughts and minds. We have to get a hold of that Christians, believers, followers of Christ are people of the Word. And it's not just sort of like the manual for the wash machine that we pull out of a drawer when we're in a funk, right? Or we ask somebody else to give us a verse because we're in a funk, because we haven't even picked it up enough to know which side is the New Testament and the Old Testament, And so we have to be people of the Word, people of Scripture, feeding our minds the truth, because the best information, right, because our life is full of decisions, and the best information helps us to make the best decisions. Sometimes we might sit down with a friend who's trying to make a decision in their life, and we're like, but Scripture is really clear on that. If you were just in the Word, you'd know. And you wouldn't be wrestling with these decisions, because the best information gives us the best decisions. So I have to feed my mind the truth. The next thing is I have to free my mind. I have to free my mind. 2 Corinthians 10:4 says to pull down strongholds. Pull down strongholds, right? So what did I say before? A stronghold is a lie that you believe. It's something that's not true, but we believe it. And a lot of times we don't realize it's a lie. We don't understand that it's a lie. But it's a stronghold that gets a hold of us, right? And so our minds, they have to be liberated from these false beliefs, and because they're destructive. Because false beliefs are destructive thoughts. Sometimes we become prisoners of the things people speak to us. And a lot of people, I talk to a lot of people, and myself included, that some very negative things were spoken to us when we were young, right? We were told we'd never measure up. We were told we'd never get it, right? We're told that we're just irreparably damaged. We're just told we'll never succeed, and we'll never get it right. And we carry those thoughts into adulthood, and it becomes a stronghold in our lives. And it holds us down. It holds us. It's like chains on our feet. And so we have to free our mind from false beliefs. Sometimes we become prisoners of those things. And sometimes we still have parts of our old sinful nature influencing our thoughts. It's like, you know, we're saying here, you called my name and I ran out of that grave, but we left a lot of our thinking back behind in that grave. We left our minds back in that grave. And so we come out of the grave, but our minds stay behind. Our old sinful nature influences our thoughts. Our old sinful nature that says, just do what feels good and don't let anybody tell you to do otherwise. Right? Isn't that what the old sinful nature said to do? Nobody tells me what to do. I'm just going to do what feels good. Right? And that is old sinful nature talking. That's not renewed mind talking. That's not renewed mind. Jesus said, look, if you want to be my disciple, you got to take up your cross, you got to lay down your rights, you got to follow me. Right? That's old sinful nature. That's like, you don't tell me what to do. Influencing our thoughts. Do what's comfortable. Do what's easy. That's old sinful nature. That's old sinful nature. Do what's easy. Medicate, right? Just medicate. That's old sinful nature. Make yourself feel better with a little substance. You can always give it to God later. You can always work through it later. Okay? That's old sinful thinking. Or just even doing what aligns with the world's value system. You know, what is the world's value system? What do we as Christians have anything to do with the world's value system? Right? If we're born again and we're walking in Christ, then why would we go, yeah, I think I'm going to live with my girlfriend for a while just to try it out, make sure. That's the world's value system. We've got to understand that. You know, we can go on that all day. I don't want to get in a merry-go-round. But that's the old world value system, and we need to liberate our mind from the way of thinking and the way of living that is contrary to what God calls us to in living a life worthy of our calling, okay? So sometimes just the old sinful nature is still there. So we need to surrender our thoughts to God, and we need to let His truth determine the way that we're going to think about things. We need to let His truth determine the way that that we think about things. So is anybody picking up a certain measure of passion this morning? let His truth determine. And sometimes the devil just tries to manipulate our thoughts, right? Have you ever had a thought and you're just like, wow, that must have been the devil. Holy cow. I mean, you ever just have one of those thoughts? For me, sometimes it's like, if I'm angry at somebody or like a stranger is rude to me, you know, out in public or so, like, you know, whatever. And that's when I feel like the devil just goes, oh, that guy's a jerk. You should go tell him he's number one, if you know what I mean. Right? So, you know, sometimes the devil, you know, he plants negative thoughts. A lot of times the devil will plant negative thoughts into our minds that fit real well. So if we already have an insecurity, maybe we have an insecurity about our bodies, maybe we have an insecurity about our economic status, maybe we have an insecurity about whatever, okay? A lot of times, the devil is going to put thoughts in our minds saying, all those people think that about you, right? Well, if you just think about that for a second, that's ridiculous because all those people are just thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about you, you know? And so we just understand that, but that, you know, the devil will hit our minds with thoughts, with lies that confirm insecure biases, that confirm insecurities, that confirm things. And so he's sneaky, you know. There's a Greek word, noema. There's a Greek word, noema, right? And what that word means actually means tailor-made thought. It means it's a thought that fits you just right. It's a thought that you are naturally probably going to believe, not even realizing that it's an outside thought, okay? And so he's a stinker, and he tries to manipulate our thoughts. He plants those suggestions. He plants those temptations. The good news is this. The devil can plant thoughts, but he can't force you to do anything. He can't force you to take any action. Devil's not going to take your hand and force you, right? And so he can't force you to do anything. He can't force you to act on those thoughts. That's your decision. That's your decision. And so you don't have to believe everything you think. Say that with me. I don't have to believe everything I think. Yes. You don't have to believe everything that you think. I didn't have to believe that this worship leader was a jerk for not, answering my email. You don't have to believe everything that you think. And so free your mind. And then the last thing is this. I have to focus my mind. I have to focus my mind. Here's the thing. I think that we have this belief. How do I say this? We have this belief within. We have this belief about our thoughts. And I think sometimes church culture doesn't help. We have this belief about our thoughts that we would hear something like this today and just go, yeah, yeah, yeah. And somehow, because we heard it, automatically our brains in the background are going to start to change, and we're going to start to change the way that we think, right? And I say that this happens in the church because we believe that God does miracles, and that's a good belief. That's a true belief. And we believe that God sets us free, and that's a true belief. That's a good belief. And we believe that God heals us. That's a true belief. That's a good belief, right? But a lot of times what happens is God is just sort of like tipping that first domino, and it's up to us to do the rest of the work. It's up to us to do the work. You know, I thought it was great. You know, Brandon was talking about how he injured himself today, right? Sometimes going and getting that wound cleaned out actually hurts worse than the wound itself. Sometimes going to get patched up and doing the hard work of changing our thoughts, of healing our wounds, and dealing with our past, a lot of times that hurts even worse than the original wound. But when we go through it and we're done with it, we're stronger than we were before. So we look at the word Rapha, Jehovah Rapha, right? And so that word actually means to knit together. Just like when you break a bone, the fibers, the bone actually knits together. And you know what happens when that bone is good and healed up? It's stronger than it was before it was broken. Think about that. Okay? You're a lot less likely to re-break a bone in the same place, unless you get older. Okay? But, so when we do the work, when we actually go, you know what, forget it. I'm going to go see a counselor. You know what, forget it. I'm going to read a book on this. I'm going to journal with this. I'm going to take this before the Lord, and I'm going to do the hard work. When we do that, when we focus our mind and we do the work, we're better than we were before. And so I really want to encourage you with this. Don't take this message home and go, yeah, God, change my mind. What's worth binge watching today? Who's talking trash on Facebook? Okay? I want you to do the work. Do the work. So, focus your mind. I have to focus my mind. Think about Jesus, right? Most people go through life intensely focused on themselves. Most people go through life intensely focused on their choice of entertainment. Most people go through life intensely focused on the things that bother them. You ever notice that? Some people just always, like their mind, their focus, their conversation, their talk, it's always on something happening around the world that's bothering them or something in their life that's bothering them, and they go focus on that, okay? But here's the thing is we become like the things we focus most about. We become like the things we focus most about. I remember there was a young man that came to me, and he said, would you pray for me, please? I just need prayer. And I said, what do you need prayer for? He said, because I just feel aggressive. I feel violent all the time. I go out and I want to get in fights with people. I don't know what's wrong with me. I think that there's a demon of violence that's attached itself to me. Would you please pray for me? And I said, okay, I'll pray for you. And so I pray for him, and I get done praying for him, and we're talking a little bit, and I said, hey, by the way, what kind of movies do you like to watch? Anyone want to take a guess? Yes! We become like the things we focus on. We become what we give our focus to, okay? And so it's so important that we have a focused mind, that we think about Jesus, that we think about His Word. We focus on the One who is healing. We focus on the One who is the way. We focus on the One who is the life. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Why wouldn't we want to keep our focus there, okay? And the other thing that we can think about to have a focused mind is think about others. Think about others, right? Philippians 2:4 says, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Being others-minded is, it brings contentment when we're others-minded, right? It brings contentment when we're others-minded. It brings peace when we're others-minded. It brings a sense of purpose when we're others-minded. And it goes so much beyond our fickle happiness. Why can we come home from a week of camp, right? Why can we come home from a week of camp tired, bedraggled, you know, some people literally wounded from camp, and come back and feel so at peace and so content and so just ready to do it again, right? We watched a movie last night. It was a war movie. And there was this one guy who was a medic, and he was just pulling people off the battlefield, and he was just, you know, putting them on his shoulders and carrying them off. And at the very end, he was just like stunned. He's you know, he's kind of out of it. And I said, that's me on Friday at camp, you know, but ready to do it again, but ready to do it again. Because when you spend that much time focused on others, it brings contentment, it brings peace. It's counterintuitive, right? Because how many times do we say, I can't focus, I can't help somebody else till I get my own stuff in order, right? Don't we say that? Like, that sounds like a really good excuse, right? I can't help other people until I get my own life in order. I can't speak love and encouragement to that person until I feel loved and encouraged myself. I can't be generous financially until I get my financial house in order. I can't be others-minded until I take... That's a lie. That is a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. Okay? And it's a lie meant to keep you in that navel-gazing self-obsessed state of mind, miserable, instead of having that peace and that contentment and that joy, because that's how God wired us, that when we love others, we receive that peace, we receive that encouragement. And so those of you who have been on mission trip, you know what I'm talking about. It's hard, and you pay money, and it's a sacrifice, and a lot of times people are ungrateful, and all those things. But you feel content and you feel peace because that's how God wired us. Don't look after your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Being others-minded, okay? And then the other thing that we need to think about is to think about eternity. There is so much more to life than here and now. There's so much more to life than here and now, right? And when we think, when we understand that God wants us, our thoughts, to think about eternity, to think about the scope, all right? That listen, remember that when you're thinking about flirting with that guy, right? When you're thinking about flirting with that guy, remember eternity, eternity. This little here and now, right now gratification, okay? How is that going to impact your eternity? Okay? When you're thinking about buying that thing you really can't afford, shouldn't you stop and think about eternity, right? You just stop and think about eternity. Think about the impact on the grand scheme of things. We have an advertisement culture that says you deserve it, right? You deserve it. In fact, I get emails from Amazon all the time that say, give yourself a little something, right? And they're pushing the things that are on my Amazon wish list on me. Give yourself a little something. You deserve it. And Wendy read a little quote today about self-care, how we think that self-care is all bubble baths and Netflix. That's not self-care. Self-care is washing that wound out and doing the right thing. Okay, that's self-care. When we think about whether or not to say something hurtful to somebody, okay, think with eternity in mind. Colossians 3, 2 through 4 says, think about the things of heaven, right? Not the things of earth. For you died to this life. You died to this life. You died to this life. And the real you is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. Okay? You will share in all his glory. We experience transformation within ourselves and the world around us when we get our eyes off the immediate and we fix them on eternity. You know the old saying, he's too heavenly minded to be any earthly good? That's bull. That statement is just such baloney. Because the people who have done the greatest, for the kingdom of God on this earth, they were heavenly minded. They were heavenly minded. They were thinking about eternity. They were thinking about how what they did today had an impact on tomorrow and other people's eternities. Okay? And so be heavenly minded. Heavenly minded. A transformed life begins with a transformed mind. And so what I want to do this morning, Wendy, if you want to come up, why don't we have the worship team come up too? I'm just going to say a prayer. Why don't we just close our eyes? And the prayer team, if you want to take your place, that'd be great. Did you have anything? Okay. This morning, one of our prayer team members had an impression that there was someone here that had accepted a wrong identity about themselves. In other words, what you believe about yourself isn't what God says about you. Okay? God says you're healed. God says you're redeemed. God says that you're free. God says that you are loved unconditionally. But what the story that you're telling yourself is something completely different. The story that you're telling yourself is contrary to what God is telling you. And that's tough. That's a tough place to be. Especially when the story we tell ourselves is confirmed by that jerk at work. Or the story we tell ourselves is confirmed by our girlfriend or our boyfriend. Or the story that we tell ourselves is that negative story is confirmed by other people. But God says you're redeemed. God says you're created in His image. God says that you have value. And so, if that's you this morning, I want you to get prayer. Please don't leave this place without getting prayer. If you have accepted a false identity about yourself, please get prayer today. So here's what I want to do. If you feel comfortable doing this, I just want you to put your hands on your mind. Just lay hands on yourself. If you need prayer for your thoughts today, just pray. God, I pray for every person here today. We put our hands on our minds and we say, God, have your way. God, bring transformation. God, bring truth. Bring focus. Bring freedom. Lord, I pray that we would be people who are willing to do the work, willing to scrub out the wounds, willing to focus and to feed our minds on your word, on scripture, on the truth. God, I pray that we would be people who recognize a lie immediately and just tell that lie where to go. God, that you would change the way we think. Change the way we think. Oh, we love you. In Jesus' name.